Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Mendez. On this week's show, we will, of course, be gearing up for Saturday's home game with Peterborough United at the Valley. But we've also got plenty more to discuss this evening. Joining us to do that, first up, top right of the screen, Charlton Live's very own transfer correspondent, Tash Everett. How are you doing, Tash?
Oh, my brains are contrary now, Louis said that. No, I'm good, thank you, mate. Yeah, another chaotic week in the world of Charlton, isn't it? But yeah, good to do that.
Certainly has been, yeah, and it was very good timing that you were going to be on this show already this week, but certainly with the news that you've broken this afternoon. Also join us, bottom of the screen, a man who's never broken any transfer news on this show, and I am actually thinking of putting him up for sale myself now because of that. Lewis Cat, how you doing, Lou?
Not too bad, mate, not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, very good indeed. So as I said, there's plenty to talk about on today's show. Of course, we'll be looking ahead to Peterborough. Of course, we'll look back at last night's Q&A with the directors. We're going to hear from Tim Studley as well to look ahead to that posh game. But first things first, we have to go directly to our transfer correspondent, top right of the screen. Tash, you've broken the news this afternoon. What can you tell us about the West Ham United midfielder, Connor Coventry?
I feel like I should be talking Scottish and wearing a yellow tie now. No, I'm joking. No, so obviously, we were obviously linked with Connor Coventry at the start of the window, and that quickly changed to him being heavily linked with Sheffield Wednesday, which, you know, I didn't know much about him, honestly, before we were linked with him. But, you know, it was disappointing to see that he was probably going to end up going to Championship. I wouldn't have blamed him if he'd have gone the league above. He had 6 months left on his West Ham contract. He's not going to get a look in the Premier League, it looks like. So that would have been a good move for him. However, obviously, Rich Cawley tweeted out today that deal had collapsed or that it was off. And about an hour later, I found out that he was having a medical at Charlton. So that deal was back on. But yeah, it's an interesting one because he's 23. So you'd argue, like, oh, it's a relatively young player, but he has had quite a lot of experience. He's been on loan 4 times in the EFL in the last couple of seasons. He's been to, I think it's Lincoln, Peterborough, MK Dons and Rotherham, and he actually got an assist against us for MK Dons in their 2-0 win back in 2022. So, yeah, he looks like a promising little player. Obviously, it'd be interesting to see how he fits in with the squad. We've got quite a congested midfield, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's an excellent scoop, Tash. So you broke the news that he was having his medical down at the training ground. Since then, we've seen the Daily Mirror and Sky Sports confirming your news. In fact, they've gone even further and suggested they think a formal announcement might be made in the next 24 hours after agreeing a permanent deal for the midfielder. So there you go. You heard it here first, well, or second or third, really, by the time we got the show out. But of course, Tash Everett breaking the news there that Connor Coventry looks like he might be on the move, but it sounds, from what I've heard, it sounds like things are going quite smoothly as it stands. I don't think we're going to hear anything tonight. But yeah, these things obviously can turn or anything can happen. But yeah, sounds like good news, Lewis. Yeah, Connor Coventry from the outside looking in, Lewis, if he is to become one of our players, and we have seen how medicals can go wrong over the course of the years. But yeah, what would you make of that signing if he is indeed going to be put over the line in the next few hours?
I think it's a promising one, to be honest with you. I think it's the sort of signing that the ownership have come out and stated that they want to make in terms of it being a permanent over a loan. He's obviously got good pedigree in the EFL, as Tash mentioned, like multiple loans at EFL clubs at different levels. There's always been a very decent performer at those clubs as well. I know MK Dons, his time there was very successful. Had a decent spell at Rotherham last year. I think he's a really good signing if it comes off. It begs the question where he may go because of the amount of midfielders we have at the moment, whether we'll see some movement going outwards as well. But I think overall, I think it's a great signing. And and talking about, as we said, maybe on the show last week, that maybe the level of recruitment hasn't been there. And looking at the last couple of windows, the sorts of players we've ended up with haven't maybe hit the heights that we'd expected. Connor Coventry seems like one of those players that already has that experience at this level and that pedigree to go in and make an immediate impact, which obviously where we are at this stage of our season and our current performance so far, this campaign not being good enough is something we need. Someone that's going to come in, hit the ground running and make that difference, hopefully show a little bit of leadership quality as well. You know, he's played for West Ham's under-23s for a while as well, has a decent reputation there. And I think to beat off Championship interest as well, obviously I don't know why the deal at Wednesday would have fallen through, but to beat off some clear Championship interest to come and sign for a club that at the moment is in the bottom half of League One, is a pretty decent bit of business from us. So fingers crossed it all comes off and goes through.
Well, there we go. And Robert Smith in the chat was just asking, if he signs overnight, will he be eligible to play on Saturday? Well, normally the rule is a midday on the Friday to play on the Saturday. So if he does, you'd assume he would be. Knowing our luck, he'll be injured, won't he? That's just the way it goes. That is a joke, though. By the way, let us know in the chat what you make of this potential signing. Sydney saying our number one priority in the topic of signing should be getting Dobbo to extend his contract. He's our hero and captain and should be getting offered an offer that he deserves. And so much more. Please, let's get Dobbo over the line. I mean, yeah, Lewis raised it there, Tash. It is another midfielder. It'll be the third one we've picked up in this window so far. You know, obviously we'll raise further questions about Louis Watson, whether he's going to stay, and I guess George Dobson as well. But he comes with a level of pedigree, this Connor Coventry.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke and say maybe we've only signed him to get one up on Sheffield Wednesday, but there you go. But yeah, no, he actually, looking at his transfer market profile earlier, he's got a Europa Conference League medal, which, whatever you think about that competition, you know, whatever you want to think about that. But yeah, he made two appearances for them in the group stages before he went off to Rotherham on loan the back half of last season. So yeah, there's that. But yeah, obviously he kept Rotherham, or helped keep Rotherham up last season in the Championship as well. And yeah, he's got 10 senior appearances for West Ham as well. So yeah, obviously he's been stuck in the Premier League 2 and in the EFL Trophy this season. So he obviously needs that senior football move. But yeah, I think for me that's promising. Obviously, as like many like fans are saying, like, does this mean Dobbo's going? I'd like to think not. Obviously, like, the rumours are that he has the contracts on the table, but I'd like to think in an ideal world, how Connor Coventry and George Dobson, but yeah, obviously that remains to be seen. But yeah, I think it's a positive move. I think, as you said, Louis, I think even though he is 23, it's adding experience. So yeah, it's good to
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to talk about, actually, it's obviously the amount of league games he's played. He's had, in terms of playing serious minutes in the league, obviously he had a short spell at Lincoln, but Peterborough, he played 12 league games, Milton Keynes 22 league games, Rotherham 16 league games. So, you know, I think we heard similar when I spoke to Michael Appleton about Fiorini, who signed, obviously, was it at the end of last week, Lewis? He sort of needs, you know, he's been out and about, but probably not going to play for West Ham if we're going to be serious in the Premier League. So he'll need a home now. Hopefully we can be the one to provide that. And you saw that with Josh Cullen. You know, I know we didn't end up being the team that provided a permanent home for him, but he had two really productive seasons with us, and that helped kick off his career. And obviously, in this case, you hope that would mean for Coventry that he could kick off his career and then actually still be with us if he hits that potential that he seems to come with.
Yeah, exactly. And I imagine that Connor's looked at it as well. He'd be the third West Ham centre mid to come to us at a similar age. With Josh, with those successful loan periods. Dobson, of course, not coming directly from West Ham, but obviously a product of West Ham's academy as well. And obviously, Simon, when he signed for us, he didn't have the best start, but he's gone on to be a real cult hero for us. He's become our captain. And I think if you're a player at the age that Connor Coventry is and you are looking for that next move, knowing you're not going to really make the stamp that you want to at your boyhood club, you're looking at options. And Charlton, obviously, regardless of our position at the moment, is an attractive prospect. It's in London, so he doesn't need to move away. We've obviously got that reference of other players that have become a success here following that same avenue that he's taken. Now, fingers crossed if that deal comes through. So I think, yeah, I think he's a different signing to Fiorini, because I think he has that little bit more pedigree. What we touched on earlier is where he fits in. That's my biggest worry, is like signing him, I hope, isn't a big smokescreen that we're going to end up losing a George Dobson, because Dobson's obviously incredibly important for us, and he is our captain. Maybe some of his leadership qualities have been called into question this season at times, but I think that's just because of the performances overall not being good enough from the team. He's no doubt a very important player, and I think Coventry is in a very similar position to Dobbo. So for me, of course, it's a pro if he comes in, because he's clearly got that pedigree, as you say, but I just hope it isn't at the expense of Dobson. But that remains to be seen. Obviously, there's a contract on the table. Supposedly, it's down to Dobbo to sign it, and hopefully he does, because a midfield of Coventry, Dobson and another is very, very strong at this level.
It certainly has potential. You know, like we say, I always say, until I see this man in a Cheltenham shirt, I'm not going to judge him. You know, I've been burned too many times. But yeah, a lot of interest. The fact there was Championship interest, it sounded like it got beyond the talking stage. So it certainly was. Paul Davenport says, move aside Richard Cawley for Tash there. And I can assure you that Richard would have hated every minute of that. It serves him right for having a day. He went up to Anfield, I think, last night to watch some West London side in some second-rate competition. That's only a good competition up until the quarterfinals. That one, semi-finals don't really matter, the League Cup. But yeah, obviously, I did ask for your views on Coventry signing. Let's try and have a look at what people have said. Was the creator says, we have promised captaincy to Coventry once Dobson leaves. Well, we can't say that as a fact, can we? But that's an interesting point. If he is considered that sort of levels, Shiny Phil saying, I think Coventry sounds like a good signing, but I'm more alarmed by our lack of action, Ari Dobbo, and still no defensive signings either. What's going on? Johan says a Coventry is a statement signing. Tash, is it true that location is a key factor? Obviously, it's sometimes hard to tell, Tash, why a player would choose to sign for a club. Obviously, finances will come into it. Location might have helped. We are based down south, very similarly to West Ham.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, being completely honest. But yeah, I know that players within the squad currently are not wanting to necessarily move away because they're happy with the London location. It does benefit us massively. And particularly, that's why we've had loads of players in the past, even through our academy or joining us after, that live or from that Essex, East London sort of area, that, you know, that it's easy for them to stay at home, being near friends and families here is definitely a plus for us, but I don't know for sure if that's definitely the reason.
Right. Key Foster says, what's happened to the Gillespie signing? Well, it's the last we heard was, you know, he hadn't failed a medical, but they were going through a very thorough process. But when you hear the phrase that they're going through a very thorough process, it obviously does raise a few questions there, Lewis, and still we haven't heard anything. Was says, can you confirm if Richard Cawley is jealous of Tash's hair follicle as well? Again, he's not here to answer that question for himself, but you know, I'll leave that to your imagination. Sam saying, would be easy now to let Fraser go, plus we know Watson will be returning to Luton. Well, we don't know that for certain. I think I saw some quotes from Rob Edwards, Luton manager, saying that he thought the battle for places at Charlton might actually be quite useful for Louis Watson. We don't know for certain he's going to go back, but we do know there was some thoughts by it that Richard report that maybe Luton might think about it. So we don't know for certain, Lewis. Do you, Fraser leaving? Do you see that as a possible this window?
I don't know. It's a difficult one. I mean, he's obviously had a lot of time out injured this season, so any potential suitor may not have seen enough of him to make a serious bid, because any movement on Fraser will obviously involve a fee, because we didn't sign him that long ago. And obviously our investment in him was fairly hefty at the time. I don't know how long exactly he's got left on his contract, but you would assume there would be a fee involved. It's a weird one with Fraser, isn't it? I think he's one of the most frustrating players, because sometimes he's the best player on the pitch and sometimes he's the worst. And we haven't managed to get the best out of him really for a while now. I don't think he's ever really got going. But with these signings coming in, obviously that's three midfielders in the space of like a week or so, isn't it? With Backinson, Fiorini and hopefully Coventry. That obviously adds further competition already to those places, where you've got Dobson, that's probably the first name on the team sheet. Corroy has been playing recently. Louis Watson's obviously in that contention as well. Chem Campbell, like there's so many options in that midfield, depending what system Michael's going to play moving forward, once he maybe gets the players in that he wants. It'd be interesting to see how he sees that midfield settling with these incomings. At the moment, do I see Fraser as someone that starts ahead of a Connor Coventry, a George Dobson, a Louis Watson? For me personally, I don't. He's probably one of the higher earners at the football club. Would that be an area that we would look to release some funds to sign areas that maybe are more in need, like in the defensive area? I don't know. I don't think Fraser has had enough game time this season to make an impression for us to receive any kind of serious bid for him to leave. But that isn't to say that doesn't happen, because there's obviously a good player there. He just hasn't really hit the heights here so far. And whether that's down to fitness or sharpness, I think he suffered massively with long COVID when he first joined. There's been a few hurdles for him to cross. So I don't know. At the moment, if I'm Fraser, I'm thinking there's serious competition coming in here. My place is definitely up for grabs. It's down to him to make an impression, to try and get himself on that team sheet, because there's obviously a player there that can do it.
Daniel's saying Coventry signing at the expense of the massives is probably the highlight of that signing. If it happens, I love getting one over on them. My very own Joe saying looking forward to the 1-8-1 formation on Saturday. I mean, obviously we are midfield heavy now, and certainly if Connor Coventry does score, if and when he comes in, that will be another midfielder into a very congested part of the pitch. But you know, there are lots of questions, of course, about Johnson, Clark, Harris, and we had updates from the board last night. Obviously, we've seen updates from Richard Corley on that one. Yeah, the fee has been agreed. The player has been offered, by the sounds of it, more than what he's on at Peterborough, but he is in a very strong position there. Dean saying he thinks he'll run down his contract and get more money in the summer. As I said on Sunday, you know, if you run down your contract, you're a free agent. Free agent signing on fees tend to be quite high. Because there is no transfer fee to be paid as well, people might think, well, I've got a little bit more in the wage bucket for you there as well. Tash, what would you make of that? I mean, let's not rule anything out until the end of the window. You might have a change of heart and think, actually, you know what? Now that Connor Coventry's going and, you know, South East London is the place to be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, it's a funny one, because obviously in the summer he came so close to signing for Bristol Rovers, didn't he? And then that all collapsed quite embarrassingly at the final minute. And then I haven't seen anything about Bristol Rovers being interested in this January. I think if they were going to go for him, and quite like a lot of other clubs, I think, yeah, they're going to wait until he's free. I think it's whether we obviously want to snap him up now, which, you know, when all of our strikers are fit, which 9 times out of 10, unfortunately, they're not always fit, we don't necessarily need him. But I do think, like, with an EK being how he is, unfortunately, I do think you need someone like Johnson, Clark, Harris, and we definitely need to be going for a striker in this window. The fact that it's stalling at personal terms does worry me slightly, because I think I don't know why that would be. I don't know why that would be money. As you say, I think he's going to be offered more than he's on at Peterborough. But yeah, it's an interesting one. But yeah, we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, and we'll see. Andy's just saying on Fraser, he might have played more than you imagined, Lewis. You just didn't notice. Mark saying if Fraser goes, he's willing to drive him. I'm quite glad a couple of people have mentioned this in the chat, because I completely forgot it happened. But Martin said Isid must be fit with Sam Walker going. Was saying that now that Walker has gone, will we look for a new goalkeeper to replace Ashley Maynard-Brewer? He's still young, too reckless sometimes, in my opinion, too inconsistent, like so many of our players. So yeah, as those two have pointed out, their club legend Sam Walker has left for Bradford. So I followed that one with interest, just from, I noticed Bradford sold their keeper to Carlisle, and a lot of people were saying that arguably one of the best goalkeepers in League Two has jumped up into League One with Bradford, and they've got Sam Walker now, Lewis.
Who? I completely forgot he was here earlier. I was at work and I saw that come through in our chat, and I completely forgot he existed. But hopefully that means one thing we'll take out of it. I mean, I can't imagine Sam Walker's Charlton career will be one that goes down in the history books. I think him and Christophe Lapointe, whatever his name was, will be etched into our memories forever. But hopefully on a positive spin of that, it will mean that Harry Eisted is nearer to fitness or in contention. Regarding Ash, going back to one of the comments that came up there about replacing him, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think Ash himself is actually a really good shot stopper. I just think that some of his decision making is a bit reckless. Some of his distributions obviously come under scrutiny with his kicking and accuracy of said kicking not being great. But there have been games where he's been absolutely outstanding in terms of his shot stopping. I think it was said, I can't remember if it was Bristol Rovers or Port Vale, this is the best away performance I've ever seen from a goalkeeper, with some of the saves that Ash made. So he's obviously got that in the locker. I think there are just things in his game that he needs to work on. And I assume that's why we signed Harry Eistead, is just to give that fresh competition for Ash and keep pushing him. Because Eistead himself maybe wouldn't be considered as an immediate number one. Like, obviously, he finished the season strongly at Barnsley last year. But before that, I think we even spoke when he signed in the summer that before that, his sort of appearances have been a fairly low level and fairly sparse. But he's obviously as well a young keeper that's coming up. And I was impressed with him, typically just as he got injured, he had the game of his life, didn't he? So you've got two keepers there that probably need to prove themselves. It's really stiff competition when Harry's fit. I think that it's tough on Ash. It'd be harsh on Ash to drop him, but I do think that Eistead maybe is that little bit more calm-headed, I suppose. And when you're in the position that we're in and the defence is maybe a little bit leaky and frail like ours, is that you maybe need a keeper that's that little bit less erratic. And I think at the moment, Ash can be just that bit erratic. I mean, that's why he wears a face mask, right? He goes everywhere, like gives himself concussion every week. So yeah, maybe Eistead coming back will be a bit of a pro.
Yeah, Daniel in the chat says Ash gets put under a lot of pressure by defence, so it mitigating circumstances really to work with. This is a great one from James. It says, Ben Purrington has gone from Ross County to Exeter today. Is that the furthest move ever that stays within the UK? I mean, is there a Plymouth to Inverness or something like that? That's a great question. Won't dwell on it too much though, because obviously not Charlton related, but obviously good luck to Ben Purrington down at Exeter. Last night, obviously we should reference the fact there was the Q&A. Jim Rodwell, Gavin Carter, Paul Elliott with Charlotte Richardson on Charlton TV. I mean, there was loads covered in it, Tash. I mean, without going into too much detail, because obviously their video is there on YouTube, and everyone joining us in the comments, let us know if you've any questions from what you saw on last night's show. But Tash, I mean, just your general view on some of the stuff they talked about. I mean, they sort of highlighted certainly a lot of the problems, and they put up quite a few slides with how they saw solutions to things like recruitment. So they're moving to this squad building structure, the 8 plus 8 plus 8, 8 elite League One players, 8 consistent League One players, and 8 academy graduates. It'd be nice to try and cut up our current squad into that. But did you come away feeling, yeah, everything's great? Did you come away feeling, oh, that was a lot of management speak and I don't really know what to make of it? Which way did you fall on it?
I think so. I managed to catch half of it because I was working last night. But yeah, I mean, first of all, obviously, I can appreciate the fact that, you know, that's something that we've lacked from owners over the years, is having that communication. So first of all, that's refreshing in itself. Whatever you think about what they said, at least they've sat and spoken to fans. But yeah, obviously someone, I think we might have been talking about earlier, but someone reminded me that Catrien did a PowerPoint once and that didn't go down pretty well. So, but yeah, in general, I think the thing that stood out to me was the 8 plus 8 plus 8, as you just said, it's a bit of a mouthful, but yeah. Looking at the current squad that we have right now and looking at the targets that we have in January, the people that we brought in January, do we have 8 elite players? I don't know. And then also for the middle section of like 8 players that can be relied on in the league, I think the phrasing was like, don't let the team down. I was like, okay, good to know. But yeah, it's just, I can see what they're saying. Whether I think it's what they've implemented or what they're looking to implement, I don't know. And I think that was a lot of what I felt about what they said last night, was they're addressing things that they should be addressing. I don't necessarily think that right now they have the solutions to it. I mean, you can't expect them to have implemented everything and changed everything they want to change in 6 months. Granted, that's, you know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. But I think, like, it's understandable if fans are a bit like, okay, this sounds great, and like, I like certain bits of what you said, but equally, I'm going to kind of watch and wait and see what you do rather than listen to what you say, because we've been there before many, many times to learn that I don't just take what people say is gospel and that's definitely going to happen. So yeah, I hope that the stuff that they were going on about and the focuses that they have, like, for example, I liked the fact that they know that they're missing out on the next generation of fans. That's something that worries me and a lot of other supporters. I mean, you can see it on match days, how empty the ground is and how sad that is for everyone to see. And the amount of like West Ham, fans from Kent that should be going and supporting Cheltenham. We should be catching those fans. I know from experience, they all go out to West Ham on the high speeds instead. So it's just missing out. And I'm glad that they recognise that. I'm glad that they're looking at that. It's just whether they can, as they said themselves, come up with a cohesive plan and actually execute it properly to get that to work. So yeah, we'll see. I think they were talking along the right lines, certainly, but whether it comes to anything, we'll see.
Yeah, and obviously the legitimacy of the plan when it comes to fruition also relies on how deep the pockets are of the money men. If it turns into a long-term thing, which to be honest, it feels like at the moment, you know, the first season hasn't gone ideally well, if we're being honest. We hope we're going to see the right steps taken in this transfer window. I mean, Lewis, I'm just looking at the slide that spoke about marketing to fans in the local area. I mean, there's been a lot of attempts over recent years to try and get bigger crowds into the Valley, but realistically they've all failed because we've stayed pretty stagnant for a while now, and we've seen quite a lot of it this year. And again, I think a legitimacy in the plan and something that people will believe in will help that, but obviously getting to the Championship will have to help that as well.
Definitely, yeah. Like, people, I think sometimes in this industry especially, can forget that this is a competitive sport, and we follow Charlton for all of our own different reasons. But what people invest in, and when you're trying to attract people that maybe don't follow a club at the moment or are in the area and want to start coming, is you want to give them a product that they're proud of and they actually want to watch. And at the moment, this season, you can't say that we'd be an attractive prospect for somebody to spend their money on, you know, in the current way the climate is with financially and stuff. It's a difficult thing to sell. Like, there's a lot of work to be done off the pitch to get the crowds in, but ultimately the main attraction to get people to the Valley is by the product on the pitch being much better. And I think the short term win for this ownership will be how this January pans out and how the rest of the season goes, because it's pretty obvious the first half has been pretty poor. If we're giving them the biggest benefit of the doubt and saying that the summer they didn't have a huge amount of control because the sale took however long to go through, that's being incredibly kind, by the way, then I think we'd be looking at, you know, this January as being the main starting point for them to make a real statement. And that will be based on the players that come in and how we, you know, strongly we finish the season. In terms of getting into the top six, I think that's miles off. I can't see that happening. But you never know. Like, you have to be in it to win it. And ultimately, we've got however many games left to try and do something. Even if we finish strong and the crowds start building up because the results are good, the football's exciting, the players are turning out, you know, and you get all of that, then that builds a buzz around next season. And then next season, you will see the crowds increase and you will see the atmosphere get better. And then more and more people will come. And it's a massive chain reaction. I don't think you can just expect local people to just come down because it's there. Like, that isn't the case. Like, a football club is part of a competitive sport, and it's more than just a business to people. It is a competitive sport. We all go down and watch Charlton. We want them to win. We don't go there for any other reason to go and watch our team win and play its very best. And ultimately that will be where we capture these fans. And, you know, we've all probably experienced it over the years of supporting Charlton. We've probably all taken friends before that have, I know, especially in the Lee Bowyer season when we got promoted, I had friends come with me that all came back multiple times because it was enjoyable on the pitch. It was enjoyable off the pitch with atmosphere. At the moment, that isn't there. If I took a friend now, that would be a very different opinion of Charlton Athletic than it would have been 4 years ago. So we've got to get it right. And it's difficult to say you've got to get it right on the pitch because you have the least control over that, because anything can happen. You could have the best starting 11 in the division and go and lose 4-0 to bottom of the league, because that is what football is. But until we get it working and tighten it on the pitch, giving fans something they can connect to and a team they can be proud of, we're not going to see a huge flurry of new supporters come in. Only when the football becomes a little bit more exciting, a little bit more enjoyable, we start climbing the table and have something to play for, will we see the crowds increase and that whole thing move in the positive direction.
Well, that full video is still up on the club's official YouTube. It's definitely worth a watch, I think, for you to understand the full context of everything that's said. I'll just look at some of the messages that have come in. We've got a few in the chat, a couple of emails as well. Peter saying, I think the board's vision of sustainability and correcting previous management mishaps going forwards is sensible. Also pleased that the owners are willing to invest financially, it would appear. However, slightly concerned about the future of Charlton TV, quite easily the best pundits and commentary team in the business, in my opinion. Just how am I going to follow my team if the EFL have their way? And close it down. That's from Pete in Minnesota. And yeah, there's still obviously confusion exactly how Charlton TV is going to look with the new Sky TV deal going forward. Martin said, good evening all. There was a bit of flannel in the chat last night, but also some interesting insights in the structure and personalities at the management level. Surely it's time to cut them some slack, as there does seem to be some sort of future plan and a willingness to listen and learn. We're still suffering from previous owner backlog, although we have become accustomed to poor football and a poor manager. I was pleased my question got answered regarding the use of Brownie and alike in a positive way, but I really can't see Mr. Appleton taking any advice from anyone. His persona just feels like it's my way or no way. He badly needs to win over some supporters, maybe showing a softer side on a Q&A. Yes, we are unhappy fans, but we can't keep bashing people down. You've got to turn a corner and make upward moves as a club where we were. We are where we are, and hopefully long term is better. Otherwise, you'll struggle to bring yourselves to do the show. That's from Martin. Yeah, we've certainly struggled to do that quite a few times this season. Lucas pointing out on transfers, why not tap into the Latin American market? He's trying to get himself a deal here, Lucas. Championship clubs are doing it and finding very good talents like João Pedro and Gabriel Sara. Could be a good option, maybe. And as Cameron points out, we've just signed up to some sort of deal with the Jamaican based Mount Pleasant Academy. Cameron saying hopefully we can get some of those lads in. We've signed up with many deals over the years. We'll see if this one is fruitful. Dean on last night's meeting says it came across well, more refreshing than TS or MS, mind you. That's not hard. Dan said Rodwell's flippant comments about both Dobbo and Corey were completely unnecessary. Didn't appreciate that. A lot of people saying, can we name 8 elite level players in League One that we've got currently? Maybe 3? I don't know. But that's obviously the direction they need to get themselves in. Chris saying, you only get the support through the gate if you have success in League One. Too much competition now in London. The likes of Brentford, Luton, with established Premiership clubs, and Brighton down the road as well. And yeah, I mean, that does sort of reference, like, the I don't know where they've spoken about the marketing and the catchment area. Like, you can give away as many free t-shirts and stuff like that, do all that sort of stuff that marketing people are good at, but you do need to have the product on the field of play. And as Lucas says, people will go to the Valley when the results are shown on the pitch. Right, we're gonna have a break very shortly. We've got our correspondent from Peterborough United who's going to join us in a few moments' time as well. We should just touch on the Danny Sender situation. You may have seen that the former Charlton assistant manager has been banned for 4 years after a breach of one of the FA rules, a serious charge for actions against two women on an FA course. So he's been banned for 4 years. And just to clarify some of the stuff that we've been working on this, just to understand the timeline, because it's clear this happened in the summer on this course. The FA were clearly aware of it pretty much immediately. But Charlton are saying they weren't informed of it until about, it would seem, about a month later. So the FA informed the club on the 20th, also without referencing at all what the breach related to. The Global Football Partnership came in on the 21st. Jim Rodwell said he was aware of the potential breach on the 24th, but he was obviously still our assistant manager right up until he got sacked at the same time as Dean Holden at the end of August. So yeah, there's a few questions on that one, Tash. Mainly, why did the FA not let the club know about the seriousness of the charge? Bear in mind, he continued to work with, you know, Charlton at a mixed training ground where the men's and women's teams are. He went on a tour with fans, you know, all of this in between the time that the FA were aware of this situation. And obviously, I guess also, why did the club not ask a few more questions? Because if they had, they might have found out the seriousness of this allegation. And yeah, I mean, we will be asking more questions, but it's a pretty nasty situation.
Yeah, I don't think it reflects well on any party involved in it, to be honest with you. I think when I read it yesterday, whenever it was, I was just completely shocked by it. And yeah, I think obviously the fact that he was sitting at the club after it happened as well. And I think it's easy for like Global Football Partners, obviously the the incident took place before the takeover. However, as you pointed out, he was still employed by the club after the incident, and it boggles my mind, to be honest with you, for want of a better word, that the FA didn't give the club a heads up on what it was about, given the serious nature of it, and also the club like potentially not asking questions about what it was about. That's the issue. And to be honest with you, when I read the initial tweet and it just said, like, you know, he'd broken a regulation, it doesn't scream to me that it's going to be anything malicious or how serious it was. And I think that's a problem. The assumption is like the club have like not, by the looks of things, haven't gone and dug deeper when they should have done. They should have, and the FA should have protected the player, staff and fans as well that would have been around after those incidents. So, yeah, I mean, ideally, I think it would have been better if the club had put a statement out themselves, because I know fans like me and other people like wanted to hear their side of it and wanted to know what they were doing about it and what they, you know, and to condemn it as well. But I know that they made a comment to you guys through BBC London. But yeah, I mean, it's a very sensitive situation. And yeah, I hope that the victims are being looked after and that they're doing okay.
Yeah, so to clarify, there is a full club statement, which is on my social media, but it just sort of clarifies what I've told you. They weren't given the details of the breach. Myself and Radio London are going back to ask more questions, both to them and the FA, but we won't dwell on that for now, because that's something that's going to come out in the next few days or whenever it happens. But yeah, we're going to have a quick break. When we come back, we will turn our attention to Saturday's home game with Peterborough United. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in The River. See you soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Really looking forward to Saturday's home game with Peterborough United at the Valley. Don't know why, really, because we haven't won for ages. We're shipping goals for fun, particularly in late periods of games. And our star signing from Peterborough United hasn't signed yet. So anyway, to tell us all about Darren Ferguson's side, Tim from the Yellow Block pod joins us now. Tim, welcome to the show. Good to see you again. How are you?
Yes, good to see you again. Happy New Year to all. I'm all right. I'm better than I imagine the vast majority of your fan base is right now. Somewhat polar opposites the start of the season.
Yeah, I can see why you are all right, because on the ticker at the bottom of the screen there, you're third in the League One table, unbeaten in 9 games. It feels a long time ago that I described our early season encounter as potentially a promotion shake-up sort of 6-pointer. Well, it was for one of us. The season's gone quite well.
Yeah, what's happened though at Charlton in that time? It looks like you're sticking with your gaffer from the outside looking in. That seems surprising. But look, from a posh point of view, we are we're flying, and that's not unusual for us at League One level. But it's different this season for us. Our expectations were low, so naturally we've been quite surprised with just how well we've started the season. But having spent what feels like forever in League One, I know we've had the odd flirt with the Championship, this team this season are playing by far the best football I've ever seen a Darren Ferguson side play. And that's a huge compliment, because he's known for his expansive attacking football. Posh are known for their expansive attacking football. But there's something different about this squad. They are, and hopefully you'll see this on Saturday, sensational. By far the best I've ever seen this club play this season, by a long shot.
Hi Tim, thanks for coming on. Following that then, like, I'm glad someone's having a good season. But yeah, obviously you're flying at the moment. Obviously Pompey are kind of looking over their shoulders. I know a few Portsmouth fans are getting a bit nervous about you guys and Derby, but I know he didn't play for you in your last game, but obviously the elephant in the room, Clark Harris, I think he's been pivotal for you over the last, you know, however long. How do Peterborough fans actually feel about losing him? Because you were going to lose him in the summer, and then obviously that fell through. So you kind of have a bit of a roller coaster, being like, okay, we're ready to say bye, and then he's back. And so how would you guys feel if he were to go to another League One club?
It's such a strange situation with JCH, because he's on paper, you know, a League One player all day long. Two times League One Golden Boot winner with us, was absolutely key to our previous promotion, or our most recent promotion. But he's kind of, either we've outgrown him, which is probably more likely, or maybe he's outgrown us. His style of play doesn't suit this squad. And so if I'm honest, I don't think the Peterborough fans are that upset about the fact he's going. I think if we can get money for him now, considering he's out of contract in the summer, then that will be great. But it's you know, he's been fantastic for the club, and I'd like to think he's enjoyed his time here. But the way that we play now, he just doesn't fit into this squad, and that feels strange, because he's a proven goal scorer. It feels odd that you wouldn't want him in your squad. But it's almost like a relationship that's just kind of both gone their separate ways, I suppose. They've both kind of outgrown each other. He doesn't really suit us anymore. He's ready to move on. And he leaves on a good footing. There's nothing but well wishes. If he goes to a League One club, I think it really depends on what sort of style they play. Obviously, you know, he looks like he's heading to Charlton. I suppose the question from a posh point of view is, do you need a target man? Because that's his only real position, is an out-and-out target man. Will he work with Alfie May? I suppose time will tell in that respect. But he's good for goals. He's guaranteed to score, but you do have to feed him. He won't create those opportunities himself. He won't make the opportunities himself. Luke, can he play right wing? No, he's a number nine. He's your Dave in your five-a-side team that just turns up, doesn't move from the six-yard box and just scores week in, week out. He's that kind of player. Physically, he's quite strong, but there's not a lot to him apart from scoring goals. But if that's what you need, then he's a great asset.
Hiya, Tim. It obviously doesn't look like Clark Harris can be playing for either side on Saturday. Taking him out of the equation, obviously you've had a great season so far. Who else do Charlton fans need to be wary of this weekend? Obviously, you've got great talents in Kwame Poku, Ephraim Mason-Clark, Peter Chiozza, I know, has gone back from his, which is obviously a bit of a shame for you guys. But who else is there for us that we need to be wary of this Saturday?
So I think this kind of goes back to, I suppose, what I was saying about this being the best Peterborough team that we've seen for, certainly in my living memory. It's just so complete from start to finish. And that's never been the case at Posh. We've always had a weak defence, or we've always had, you know, a position or two that you could look at and say, that's your weakness. It doesn't really feel like there is one. In terms of strengths, it really does start from the back and move forward. You mentioned Poku and Mason Clark. You've got Hector Kipianu at the base of midfield, Archie Collins at the base of midfield. They pull the strings. Even in the back line, you've got players like Ronnie Edwards who, and I'm quite happy to go on record and say this, will go on to play for England. So, you know, you've got class throughout that team at the moment. And that feels incredibly unnatural for me as a Posh fan to say, because I'm naturally incredibly pessimistic. So in terms of strengths, if I'm honest, if you're not in great form and your confidence is low, you're probably not going to want to go up against many of the posh players at the moment, is all I would say.
It's interesting because I'm trying to remember back to our conversation early on this season. And if I remember rightly, you were a bit down at the start of the campaign. You weren't sure. I mean, it goes to show that when you've had some business in the summer, you never really know quite how it's going to land. And obviously you have a Darren Ferguson who's been in and out about 50 times down there. Why is it it's all clicked this time, do you think? And you know, can you just write it all down so we can copy you?
Well, I mean, it's taken Darren McAntony and the sort of the management there a good couple of decades to get to the point that they found that winning formula. I don't know. I think it was, you know, we got sold a low expectation in the summer, which is unlike our chairman. He likes to big everything up. But he said in the summer, don't expect much. And so I think naturally that helped because we didn't put pressure on the team early in the season like we would normally. I think it's just, I suppose, a perfect storm. We've got these young players that are all coming through at the right time together. There are issues around squad depth, and January could be an issue for us because we are in line to lose one or two really good players. And I don't include JCH in that. He's not, at the moment, he doesn't even make our squad. So it's, yeah, in terms of why it's all clicked, I think it's literally just, I suppose, you can't say luck. There's too much planning that goes into football for it to be luck, but I think everything's just come right at the right time. But it's not so much just securing the results, it's the style of play at the moment. And Darren has really got this young team firing and confident, and they just look like they could beat anyone. And I think the biggest tell for me is, when a game is finished, I go on social media and I look at what the other team's fans are saying in their own circles, not when posh fans are trying to bait them out or have banter with them or anything like that. And consistently all through the season, we're seeing fans of other teams saying, that's the best team we've played this season. And that's a huge compliment. And so it feels like everything's going in the right direction. If we can get through January unscathed, then the sky's the limit for this squad at the moment. Oh, look at me, I spot a functioning well-run football club. Well, you know what was, it's for years and years and years, I've been desperate to be in this situation. So I'm absolutely milking it for everything I can for this season.
Yeah, Tim, I was going to ask you how you think the game's going to go on Saturday, but I think we know the answer to that after your after what you said tonight.
Well, it's football, isn't it? So it'll be 0-0.
Yeah.
Or you all go on
it's
and
true.
Beat us 4-0.
Well, the question I did want to ask you is, you mentioned him there, Ronnie Edwards. I keep seeing him be linked to our friendly neighbours down the road, Crystal Palace. What can you tell us about him? Because at the moment, the centre-back department is something that we're not doing too great in. So, yeah, what can you tell us about him? What can we expect from him at the weekend?
Yeah, so Ronnie Edwards was one of many young players that we've kind of plucked out of non-league. We got him from Barnet. He is... he's probably the best player I've ever seen at Peterborough United. And bearing in mind, we've had the likes of Ivan Toney. I have absolutely no shadow of a doubt that this guy will go on to play for England. The next move for him is crucial. And as much as obviously Crystal Palace maybe leaves a bit of a sour taste for you guys, I actually think that's quite a good move for him because he will get game time there in the relatively short term as well. And I think once he's got that, then it will be the next step to him being at one of the huge Premiership clubs. It's only a matter of time for him. He's got all the attributes. Hopefully you'll see this on Saturday. He's calm on the ball. He's collective. Considering his age, he looks like that kind of 30, 31-year-old journeyman defender that you get in and hope that they're going to single-handedly get the club promoted. He's like that, but as a teenager. So he's got the world at his feet really at the moment.
Excellent stuff. Tim, it's been a pleasure hearing from you this evening. I'm really looking forward to what sounds like it's going to be a pretty routine 4-0 win for us on Saturday. cheers for your time. Obviously, good luck for the rest of the season, Tim.
No worries. And you guys, thank you. Cheers.
There we go. That's Tim from the Yellow Block podcast who joined us on Charlton Live to tell us that Peterborough turned out to be one of the best clubs, one of the footballing superpowers of the world now. Lou, I mean, it's going to be a tough one Saturday. You know, bearing in mind everything Tim's just told us about the posh, I mean, it's been a busy week, and it's almost like we've forgotten that we haven't won in however long, like seven or eight games now without a win, depending if you're counting cup games. We're on that horrendous run of conceding late goals, seven after 80 minutes in the last seven games. We're on a run of five consecutive, which again, another stat that Tash pulled up earlier. We're on a we're on a bit of bad form at the moment, Lewis, and I guess sounds like Peterborough aren't the side we want to be facing on Saturday.
I was going to say, bloody poor reading, isn't it, when you look into it like that? Although if Ronnie Edwards goes on to play for Palace, he doesn't deserve to play for England. So that's what I'll say. Yeah, look, it's not going to be easy. They've obviously got a team full of talent, as Tim said. If they've got that spine in place as well, with the likes of Edwards, Kyprianou, and then you've got those threats in Mason Clark and Kwame Poku. There's a lot of areas there. You know, you talk about this 8+8+8 strategy. It sounds like they've got plenty in the top end of that strategy. So look, it's going to be a tough game, but sometimes we thrive on those challenges at home. Obviously, this season's not been so much, but the season's gone by. It's been the teams near the bottom of the table we've always struggled against, and at the top, we seem to, for some reason, pull it out of the bag. But it's going to be a real challenge, especially off the back of a really disappointing December and Oxford game as well. It's not going to be easy, but look, we're at home. We've got to look at where the advantages are. We've got dangerous players too. I think Corey Blackett-Taylor still is one of, if not the most dangerous player in the division when he's firing. So look, there's going to be some good battles. It's going to be an interesting game, but I think it sounds like where the game will be won will be in the defences. If you've got a player like Ronnie Edwards who Tim is that confident that will go on and play for England, obviously that's very, very different to our defensive situation at the moment. So it's going to be tough, but you know, we've just got to give it a go, haven't we? We've got to try and stay positive. Otherwise, where would we be?
Yeah, I mean, Scott, as a reference, similar to what you said there, we'll do our typical and win 3-0 on Saturday, because it has felt like traditionally we have been good against like the bigger, better teams. But obviously, we've been putting out that stat this year that I think the highest placed team, I don't think we've beat a top half team so far this season. I haven't checked it if the table might have changed ever so slightly, and one of the teams we've beaten might have just jumped into the top half since. But maybe Leighton Orient might be 12th, maybe, but I might be making it up. But yeah, what we didn't really mention actually, Tash, about the Q&A was obviously the fact that the Jim pretty solidly backed the gaffer in that, Michael Appleton, who's obviously been under a lot of pressure from supporters recently. You know, Joe on our show certainly called for his sacking a couple of weeks ago. So it doesn't feel like he's in any immediate danger. But of course, there's no getting away from the fact that these stats we've been talking about, was it 13 games without a clean sheet now? I think 2 wins in that time. The late goals that you've spoken about, I'm sure you can reel off those stats for us. He does need to turn that around at some point. And well, if he can get a result against Peterborough, that will make things feel a lot more rosy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can understand why Rod Wild said that. I mean, I don't necessarily think Michael Appleton is the answer. However, I do understand from the club's perspective that going into the January window without a manager is just like asking for it not to go well. Although he has been put under considerable pressure, and if you look at the results, like Dean Holden was sacked for much less than what Appleton is currently still on the run of form with. Obviously, you've got to take into account, I feel myself saying this every season, but you've got to take into account that it's not his squad, et cetera, et cetera. But again, on the other side of that, there have been so many moments, unfortunately, under Appleton, that I've been left questioning his decision-making. And I also think sometimes that we're quite used to having like more charismatic, like out there connection with the fans type manager. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, that isn't Appleton. So I think that obviously is an issue as well, in terms of connection with the fans. But I mean, just decisions like playing Alfie May on the wing or like right wing back or whatever he was at Bristol Rovers the other week is just mind-boggling. And there was a chance for Kanu that, you know, there's no offence to Kanu, I think he's great, but if you had Alfie May in the position he was in, he would have buried it and it might have been a different game. So it's definitely... And, you know, the Louis Watson thing is another thing that I'm not shy about saying that I don't agree with. You know, I think it shows like we might not have won at Port Vale, and it was the definitely areas that were questionable. But overall, I thought we did look better than we have. I'm not saying we look great, but I'm saying we look better. And that, no coincidence, it's because Louis Watson's there. So, I'm so annoying because I feel like I want to sit on the fence on it. I think in an ideal world, I would say let's move on to someone else. But again, as a lot of people have said, like, who is the alternative? Because I don't think at the moment we're going to attract anyone of note really that's going to be much of an improvement. And much like I feel like with Appleton, it's just a sideward step from Dean Holden. I don't necessarily think it's changed much from what we had. So, yeah, I think probably going to have to stick it at the moment if we want to attract players, because people won't want to come in if we're managerless and we look like even more of a basket case. So, yeah.
Yeah, Luke's saying the thing is if we sack him, we'll be saying it's not his squad about the next manager. I don't know. What we do, Scott saying, I generally hope that Appleton proves us all wrong. A few signings, injured players back, and let's see. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly this window, I think, needs to assist Michael Appleton. And he did reference that he felt he was having very good results when we had those two big burly forwards up top, of course, in Chooks and EK and Miles Leeburn alternating from the bench, which certainly helped. But, you know, these defensive issues and these late goals, I still feel like there must be more you can get out of that side there. But we'll see. Someone asked in the chat earlier, I've lost it now, about Alfie. Obviously, Michael's not doing his press conference until tomorrow, so we won't get any update. When I asked him about Alfie May on Saturday after the Port Vale game, he said it likely still be 50-50, although he was hoping the fact that we had a week between the games will help him. Obviously, now with Sam Walker go, he could be the sub keeper on the bench at minimum, Lou. But yeah, with the squad looking ahead to Saturday, I mean, again, obviously, we missed Chem Campbell last week, and again, we won't know until we hear from Michael tomorrow if there's a chance for him to be back. Are there any changes you're desperate to see in that side? I'm just looking at who came off the bench last week. So the likes of Terrell Thomas and Nathan Asimwe, I don't think either of those jump out as starters for me. And the only one else who might get a chance, considering it was a very young bench, is Scott Fraser. But I don't think anyone's particularly screaming for his return at this moment in time.
No, I agree. I think, you know, how we lined up Saturday is probably what best and what we've got in this current state of play. Obviously, it'd be interesting to see if Backinson and Fiorini come in at any point. Obviously, I imagine both would be from the bench, but what part they would play in the matchday squad, that'll be interesting to see, and at whose expense on that bench as well. I'd like to see Chem Campbell come back in if he is fit. I feel like he's had a bit of a resurgence the last couple of weeks. It felt like he was out in the cold and was destined to go back to Wolves, but has been playing a lot more, which is great. And I think he's a player that's always, you know, in performances where we've not been great, I think he's never really been one of the worst performers. I think he's been, as a whole, I think we've been fairly underwhelming, but I think he's been one of the better performers for us. So hopefully he's back in the fold. And obviously the most important thing is that Alfie's around. If Alfie's back, it'll be brilliant. He's obviously so important for us, you know, goal record aside. It's everything else he does for us, isn't it? It's the running, it's the being a nuisance. He has that leadership quality as well. We spoke about it after the Pompey game, like how he G's people up, the crowd and the team around him. He's very vocal. He's a nuisance for any opposition. So, you know, Tim speaking about the strengths that they have as a reference, like Alfie is our strength. And I think it's critical that if we can get him back fit, then he could be the difference on Saturday if we put in a decent performance. So if he's not around, then obviously we've got the tools we've got. It would have been ideal to get a striker in soon, because we're obviously short in that area. Obviously the striker we're looking at the moment, it's not as easy as, you know, it's easier said than done with Clark Harris because of everything in the background with what he wants to do contract wise. But we're in the position we're in. So if we haven't got Alfie back, we're going to be having Kanu, and then it's what's behind him to support that's going to be important. If Alfie is back, it'd be interesting to see if he's in from the start, and if he is, where he plays, because if he's out on the wing, then he's totally wasted. So it's going to be an interesting one. I think basing on where we were Saturday, if that's where we are, which we'll assume because we haven't heard from Appleton yet, I would just remain unchanged. And obviously the bench will hopefully be strengthened by the additions of Fiorini and Backinson.
Yeah, I mean, if Alfie is about, it'd be interesting to see, like I say, where he plays. I still think without a proper big target man, it's difficult for Alfie to do his best work. But, you know, we'll see. Luke says, I wish that Michael Appleton would just show a bit more aggression or passion. He looks like Phil Mitchell, but is as intimidating as Ian Beale. Time Traveller says, getting the badge in is the only personality trait that Mickey Apples has. I mean, I don't think the same as a lot of people in that. I'm not that bothered if a manager stands there not clearly doing anything, as long as his tactics are on the pitch and his coaches are getting the message out there. But obviously when the run's going badly and you see the manager standing still, sure that does get questioned by people. I think, you know, if you remember back to Jacko, probably might not be the best example for everyone, but he was also quite quiet on the touchline. But also, you know, he was probably the same when he was going through that great run, and no one was asking anything about it then. It just feels like a bit of an easy thing to pick up on when realistically the problems are what's happening on the pitch and whether Michael's getting his message across. So certainly, you know, like I say, that defensive shape at the end, I still think between him and the senior centre halves, they need to be doing a lot more organising. Like we saw Gavin Massey running past Louis Watson at the end of the Port Vale game. You know, between Michael and the centre halves, Louis Watson shouldn't be allowed to lose concentration like that. They have to organise on the field of play between all of them, as well as Louis, obviously, himself. And Luke is saying, is it time to give Ness a chance? I don't think he's been great in his limited appearances, but the defence are performing. But the defence, I'm guessing he means, aren't performing, so he deserves a go. So, well, yeah, it's one of those where does he become a better player when he's not on the field of play, which we've seen with a lot of our players, but he certainly wasn't great. Is it time to mix it up? It's a good question. I'll be surprised if he does. Right, we've run out of time, actually, on this week's big match preview. Quite a good show for us. We had a transfer news, which we're claiming is a Charlton Live exclusive, but really it's a Tash Everett exclusive. So well done, Tash, for that one. Massive thanks to everyone who's joined us in the chat today, in the live stream. Loads of comments in there, loads of emails as well. Really good stuff from you guys. So thank you for your time. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss another show where we break all the transfer news. So come back in about 6 months for the next one, I think. But yeah, thanks for that. Thanks to Tim, our guest from the Yellow Block pod. Massive thanks then to our transfer correspondent, Tash, and to Lewis. Good to speak to you both.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Been an absolute pleasure. My name is Louis Mendes. We'll be back on Sunday where we'll look back at the Peterborough game. But thank you for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you again on Sunday.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.